This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to the kickoff of our 15th season of Killer Innovations. Hearing feedback from all of you is what makes this all worthwhile. Listen to some of my favorite from Show 50, which was our one-year anniversary back in 2006.
Hey, Phil, this is Patrick. I'm calling from São Paulo, Brazil. All I want to say is thank you very much for your podcast. It has been very illuminating in helping me structure innovation inside my company. I've discovered your podcast about a month ago, and all I can say is I am amazed. I've been spending the last month trying to get caught up. I'm almost done listening to everything. I can't wait for more stuff to come up. Again, thank you very much and congratulations. It's an amazing thing that you're doing for us.
Phil, I'm phoning from Ireland. We get your podcast loud and clear over here. I kind of like what you're doing. I'm old enough to have been wowed by VisiCalc spreadsheet, which was the killer app of the early 70s on an Apple computer. And also, my first example of innovation was when me and a bunch of other guys put water through a hover skirt and decided we could lift hundreds of tons that way. So I guess innovation's in the blood. And I'm a pen freak as well. Keep up the good work. Take care. Bye.
Hi, Phil. New listener here, Jeff Anderson in Shanghai. Just wanted to let you know how much I enjoy your show. Keep up the great work.
That was Show 50, and today we are kicking off Season 15. Kim McNicholas here is to help me highlight some of the most impactful moments. Welcome, Kim.
Well, thank you, and congratulations. You know, I think my first thought is, that really was sparked right away, is I'm curious if the same reason that you started this show back in 2005 holds true today as the same reason why you actually continue to host Killer Innovations.
Well, the original motivation for Killer Innovations was to pay it forward. I had a great mentor back in my first job out of college. Years later, when I asked him how to pay it back, he laughed and said, no, you need to pay it forward. And I could do mentoring, but it felt like I could only help and have an impact on a few people. And I envisioned a way to try to have more impact on more people. And that's what really got started in developing the original podcast when we started it. And can't even think back that far. March of 2005. And that is really been the motivation, and it continues to be the motivation. And it's feedback like we shared at the beginning of the show that really has been the thing that's kept us going all these years of producing the show on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I mean, but even beyond that, what drives you to truly keep this going? I mean, you were the CTO at HP. You've continued this show through transitions to supposed retirement, then back to running as CEO, the R&D arm for the entire cable industry, and then not just doing a podcast, but then expanding it into a radio show and an entire community. So there has to be something more.
Well, I don't know if there's something more. I think one is it is the feedback that I get from the listeners of the show. I've had an opportunity to actually have a number of those longtime listeners who were with us right from the very beginning who now have become friends, and we stay in contact, and we actually meet up, as we're traveling around the globe and building those friendships. But it really is about hearing the feedback, the impact of people taking the information we're sharing and turning it into something that's had impact on themselves, on their careers, or starting. We've heard people from starting companies to giving people the courage to go out and try and do something, right? You know, our overall motivation, all of our motivations is to have more impact than simply just going to our job and, you know, punching a clock and collecting a paycheck. We want to leave an impact, and the podcast for me is at least my little attempt to try to share our expertise, share the knowledge, share the lessons learned, all my scars over these years, and to help people not go through the same pain I've gone through and hopefully have an impact on their lives.
So bring us back to those early days. So you had a podcast even before iTunes. What was that like? Well, I mean, what did you record on? Can you describe the technology and how you went about this?
Well, it started off, you know, podcasting came around really right at the tail end of 2004. There's an esoteric piece of technology that became really a critical piece called the enclosure tag. And when that became available, that allowed for this distribution of media, whether it be video or audio. So there was a bunch of us in the early days who were trying to figure out what this really meant. And so in March 5th, 2005, I decided to record my first episode of the podcast. And I kind of modeled myself after a very famous guy who put out motivational tapes and that on cassettes called Earl Nightingale. So I was kind of modeling myself after being the podcast version of Earl Nightingale.
Nice.
Sitting in the bathroom at the Marriott Resort in Phoenix, Arizona, with my HP laptop and just a cheesy little microphone plugged into the microphone connector on the end, and sitting in the bathroom, and I recorded the first podcast. I then chopped up the audio through a little music. I'm probably going to confess here. I'm not even sure if I had a license for that music back then. And
No one needs to go back and check.
Yeah, nobody can go back and check. And then I posted it. I hosted it on my site. So I've had my blog, PhilMcKinney.com, has been up since 1996. So I just threw the audio file up there and wrote a blog post about it and let people attach to it, because there was no podcatching software. There was no client apps. There was, you know, we didn't have mobile apps, because the iTunes App Store didn't even exist back when we started. So people would have to go from site to site to site in order to, stream or download the audio file. And that worked great until I saw my first broadband bill from my hosting, and quickly figured out that this was going to be really expensive, really fast. But that was, you know, before any of the systems and cloud services and infrastructure or any of those things existed. So it was kind of a wild west, but it was really a fun time.
And so what was it like the first time? When did you actually go live for the first time?
It was March 5th. We actually put the show out that night, or I did. It was me.
Did you ever do a live broadcast versus a recorded broadcast?
No, it was always recorded. It was all. In fact, I never have done a live show until we did the radio show. We started the radio show July 5th of 2016 is when the podcast became nationally syndicated on radio. So back then, it was all recorded. And so I just recorded the audio, processed it. Didn't know what I was doing with that either. And fiddled around with it and, you know, found some tools online and it was painful, and we just put it up and made it available. And, within minutes, had the first download. And that was the exciting part, when you're sitting there watching, you know, people downloading it, then you're waiting anxiously to get feedback. You know, did they like it? Is it stupid? Is it helpful? Is it, you know, crazy, you know? And so it's being an innovator, being creative, and just kind of throwing it out there and then waiting to see what the reaction is.
Did you ever have a moment, it seems like you were so reliant and so excited about feedback, did you ever have a moment where there may have been a piece of feedback that almost deterred you, but you persevered and you realized that there are thousands up there, and not to pay attention just to one, but to focus on the thousands that you're really helping?
Actually, the surprising part. Surprising part is the feedback that I've gotten from the listener base has been universally extremely positive. And that's what actually keeps you going. If you go for a long time and you don't hear anything, you're going to assume that you're going to have that somebody's going to not like it, because you're not hearing anything. But when you get that one email or a comment on the blog or someone talks about you on some other site about how they like the show, that's what keeps you going.
Now, most people transition from radio to podcast, but you did the complete opposite. Why radio when most people have said, hey, it's a dying medium?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. That is, it's been an experiment just to see if we could take the content and transition it and put it onto radio. So it's an ongoing experiment.
Well, like everybody can have a podcast, but not everybody can have a radio show.
So let's wrap up. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will continue the conversation.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to the show. This is our kickoff for season 15.
So what was the biggest eye-opener for you? I mean, 15 seasons is a very long time. What was the biggest eye-opener for you, maybe in all the feedback you've received or guests that you've had in the early days?
Well, the one that really sticks out for me is one that I received, and it was a mother sharing with me her son listening to the show, and she included a special request as part of the feedback, and albeit this is another clip from our show 50, which was our one-year anniversary show. You need to take a listen to this, and just so you can hear this feedback directly from this mom. So let's take a listen.
Hello, Phil and the Killer Innovations community. I just wanted to add a different perspective of the Killer Innovation listener. I'm a wife of an innovator and a small business owner and a mother of six. As a wife, I listen to and read all of that stuff that my husband just doesn't have time to wade through, and then I pass on the good fruit to him. But as a mom, I have two makers, two try-anything-oncers, and two hustlers, and they're all very hardworking. We listen to a lot of very good information-filled podcasts, and we put Killer Innovations way up at the top of that list. Know this. There's a 9-year-old that listens to you while he takes apart perfectly good toys and appliances. Please tell him that Killer Innovation does not mean innovation that kills.
So as you can tell from that context of that feedback from her, it's pretty eye-opening. It's one that has always stuck with me, and I've shared it thousands of times with people. But it was that encouragement of the variety of people who are listening and getting something from the show. Maybe not wanting someone to tear apart appliances in the house, but it had the effect on me and was actually one of the key motivators, along with all the feedback that we get, to keep doing the show.
But it's really about not just about tearing apart electronics, but it's about inspiring curiosity. And I think that in a guided fashion, maybe some of the broken electronics in the house is a really good idea, kind of guiding kids that way. But I think the fact that you inspired a kid to be curious as to how things work is really huge.
Well, I think also, now put this in context, that 9-year-old back in the review is now 23.
So, oh, wow.
So when you think about, you know, this 9-year-old being encouraged to at least be curious and not be fearful and try something new, that kid is now 23 years old, most likely graduated from college. I would love to hear what he's doing, you know, what he went to college for, and what's he doing with his life.
I bet he's doing great things. So that sounds like an impactful piece of feedback. What about the most impactful guest that you've had on the show?
Well, probably the most impactful guest from the show has been going out and talking to entrepreneurs across the country. And we've now got the mobile studio, and we've been on the road. We did almost 40,000 miles just in the last year, going out and stopping in small towns across the country. Probably the most impactful was the first guest we tried that out, because it was something new, never done it before. We're going to wing this and see how this goes. And what I thought the interview was going to be is totally different from what the interview turned out to be. So let's take a quick listen.
We got our first sale, and then we realized that we can work with people who needed second chance or different opportunities. So we started with a halfway house that was working with women who were migrant workers who were from domestic violent situations, and we got hooked. And then we realized that this is a fish that can really give people economic empowerment.
So in this case, this company, Finn Gourmet Foods, was introduced to me from some investment funds that Steve Case, founder of AOL, had put into them. But as you can tell, their thought process around their business and how they operate and their employee and staff is radically different. It does give you insight of where innovation plays out. It's not always in Silicon Valley. It's not always around tech. But there's the ability to not only innovate local economies, local jobs, people's careers, and actually help people innovate their own lives.
But what's amazing is they were hiring former felons. I mean, how creative, and that's a huge risk. But some of the best innovators take those really big calculated risks such as that.
Yeah, and it is a big risk, right? When you think about 95% of your staff are all former felons. And but when I met with these and I sat in the production facility talking to these, men and women who are typically living out of a halfway house, and this is their job, trying to get back, being part of society. And you could just see in their eyes the pride of their work, their feeling of self-achievement. And like I said, that's what I think about is helping people innovate their own lives by looking at their own lives differently. They don't get themselves stuck in the rut of thinking that once they start down a path, they're stuck on that path. They can think themselves out of that rut. They can innovate their lives.
And what I think has been so amazing about listening to your show over the years is the type of guests that you have. It's not the same old. When you think about innovation, you just think about Steve Jobs. You think about Elon Musk. You think about the typical innovator in technology. But what's great is that you bring in so many different perspectives and show how innovation impacts so many different aspects of our life. And innovation can come from anywhere. It can come from simple inspiration, from basic creativity. And that's why one of my favorite guests was actually Noah Scalin.
Yeah, Noah's an interesting one. He's an artist based in Richmond, Virginia. And his look at how to reignite creativity with people. And in that show, we talked about Noah started a project for himself where he felt like he was burnt out. And he started a project called Skull a Day. Yes, it's just as it sounds. It is doing a skull a day. And he used that to really reignite his own personal creativity. And it resulted in a book, and it's actually reignited his entire career by taking a break and going out and finding his own set of new inspirations.
And so that is such a great example of why I think your show has just continued to grow and grow and grow, because you're not just bringing one perspective. Do you ever find that you are looking for guests that you, because you're a lifelong learner, do you find guests that you continue to learn from? And can you give an example of a guest that you've brought in simply so that you can continue to learn yourself?
Well, I think the best example would be Noah because of his self-inspiration and far as how he changed his life. So we'll pick that up when we come back right after this quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to the 15th season. This is the kickoff of Killer Innovations 15th season. So exciting. And so this is Kim McNicholas. That's me. And I have taken the reins from Phil McKinney just for this show because it's amazing that he started this in 2005 and we're continuing with this show today. And he's having such a huge impact on so many people. But, you know, with him sharing his expertise and being this lifelong innovator, I'm really curious, Phil, you mentioned Noah Scalin being inspiring to you, but I'm absolutely sure that a number of you, guests you've invited on simply because you are a lifelong learner yourself, a lifelong innovator, and you have this intense curiosity. So who was it that maybe stands out to you as being, you know, one of those people that you brought on simply for your own curiosity and learning?
Well, one would be Tom Fishburne. If you're not familiar with Tom, he's the guy behind the what's called Marketoonist. You see him a lot on LinkedIn. So it's kind of the cartoons of marketing. So think of it as Dilbert for marketing. And
it is
hilarious. And I found Tom when he was still working full-time and he was doing the Marketoonist things kind of at night and on weekends and those kinds of things. And he and I connected and we promoted his some of his early work in on the show and on the blog site and all of that. And Tom and I have stayed closely connected. And he's actually come out and done a couple of events with me. And his creativity, his ability to kind of have that unique eye to look at the silliness of some of the things that corporations do around products or marketing or thinking about their customers. It's just every week when he puts out a new Marketoon, it's just you realize the power of creativity and the power of influence. His ability to influence people is immense.
So in a sense, maybe I can say you kind of founded this guy. Maybe Tom.
Hey, I may have found him when he was before he was launched, but you know, Tom does amazing work. I'm always impressed with people who can, you know, kind of graphically tell a story in such a way that it just causes you to kind of slap yourself on the forehead. That's what every one of Tom's Marketoons are. They're just amazing. And he's got a great book. If you're not familiar with it, you should check it out.
You know, and you've come a long way, it seems, from what, the Marriott bathroom, doing your first podcast, all the way up until now, where you're traveling across the country looking for these amazing entrepreneurs, the most unique innovators in so many different areas. And what I have loved is that, you know, you and I were staying in hotels and doing interviews at CES, the world's largest consumer electronics show in Las Vegas, running around the floor. And now here you are rolling into CES to do these interviews versus getting lumped into the mass, what do you call it, press, you know, junket or whatever at these events. It's pretty amazing. People are coming to you versus you having to run to them.
Yeah, it is. It is a little different from when you and I, back in your Forbes day, running around, going booth to booth, trying to get people to talk. But you know, for the last 2 years now, we've taken the Mobile Studio, which is a 44-foot custom bus that we had built specifically. It contains a studio. It contains also a full Zoom room. And it's my full office, so I literally can work from anywhere as long as I've got my coach with me. And yes, everybody always asks, I do the driving. It is so much fun. But yeah, from the days of standing in a bathroom at the Marriott Hotel to now having a studio that travels with me and allows me to bring interesting guests onto the show, it's different. And we actually also now have sponsorships. For the first 12 years of the show, there was no sponsors. I just paid for all the production and everything out of my own pocket.
That's expensive.
It gets kind of expensive, but what we do with the sponsorship fees is we don't use it as a moneymaker. It really doesn't even cover our costs. We actually use it to cover the advertising spots for the nonprofits. So we give away all of our ad spots on the radio show to nonprofits. So Hacking Autism and Pioneer Education Africa get all the ad spots. So using that as part of their fundraiser. So again, it's part of extending our pay it forward, give back kind of strategy. So I still fund the work on the show out of my own pocket. And the sponsorship fees basically are funding the PSA spots on the radio to help these nonprofits get their word out and help them raise the funds they need to serve the people that they're trying to serve.
And you're continuing to expand this Pay It Forward, not just a podcast, not just a radio show, not just traveling across the U.S. looking for these great stories and opportunities for innovation, but you have an entire community that you've evolved your brand into.
Yeah, one of the common requests we get is around community. And so before I hop in and describe it, I'm going to give credit to one of our longtime listeners, Chris Woodruff. Chris has been with us right from the very beginning. I think he was like one of the first five emails I got after I started the show. And even today, Chris is still active. He's active in the communities around the show. So here, let's take a quick listen, and I'll let Chris speak for himself.
Hey, Phil, this is Chris Woodruff. I just wanted to thank you for killer innovation, and I hope the next 50 episodes go as well as the first 50. So I'm not calling for very much. I just wanted to thank you, and that's about it. So hope everything goes well, and if you need anything, you know, there's so many people out in the killer innovation community that will help, so, and I'm one of them. So thank you again, and keep us enlightened. Thanks. Bye.
So as Chris shared, one of the things he was looking for in the early days was community. We've tried a couple of different ways to create a community. Most recently, we actually converged. We brought all the communities from LinkedIn and Facebook and all the other sites into one. So it's at theinnovators.community. Very active, and we've got long time listeners. So Chris Woodruff is one of the early ones. Seth constantly reminds me that he started listening to me when he was still in college. Now he's founded his own design firm up in Utah. He actually did the design for the Killer Question card deck. His firm did for us, so he's been supportive for 15 years. John Osborne, who was the chief innovation officer at Kroger, he's literally from day one and still active. So the community is important, and innovation's a team sport. And what you really need is to find people who are fellow innovators who can support. And that's what we heard constantly, and that's what we've been constantly refining, is how do we create this community? And now with the relaunch of this community most recently in the last 6 months or so, we've seen a big jump up from the standpoint of people getting engaged and people finding peers like them.
And what does this community really look like? Can you paint the picture of what your vision is going forward?
Well, I think the fact is all of us bring different experiences and different expertise. So if you look into the community, we go everything from college students who are interested in innovation all the way through, long-term, practitioners in the space. And whatever question you have or whatever area of expertise you need, someone in the community's got it and more than willing to share that and actually help people with their projects or help commercialize what it is they're thinking about. We've had questions about patents and a whole variety of things. So it really is about a peer-to-peer kind of an environment where everybody can contribute, everybody can seek expertise, everybody can support each other. Because let's face it, if you're an innovator, you're running headlong into the innovation antibodies. The people who tell you your idea is stupid, it'll never work, don't try. And when it comes to innovation, perseverance is one of those requirements. And I guess you could say with season 15, we're showing a little bit of perseverance of having stuck through even through the podcast for 15 years.
And you're no longer doing it alone. What started out to be just you solo in the bathroom now has evolved into an entire team.
Yeah, we now do have an entire team of people that take care of the blog sites, all the audio production, posting to the social medias, etc. And so that's actually been incredibly helpful. So we'll be right back after this quick break.
This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome back to Killer Innovations. This is segment four, where we introduced the concept of what we call 5 minutes to new ideas.
And before we jump into it, can you explain just in short, what was the catalyst for creating this? Because you now do it every single week, so obviously it's in demand.
Yeah, actually, it's a throwback. If you go back to the first couple of years of the show, I always did what was called the killer question. And I have this card deck of about 120 questions. And so at each episode, I would talk about a question, which was to kind of spark the listener into potentially looking at a problem in a unique way or whatever. We kind of got out of the habit of that because, you know, in 2012, the book came out. And in 2016, we released the card deck with 48 of the killer questions. But the request for it keeps coming back. So we actually have gone back to what we were doing the first 5 years of the show. The listeners were asking for us to go back to doing that again, but with different questions and different thoughts. And so we created this 5 minutes to new ideas. We do it at the end of this show, and it's now actually its own independent show that you can go download on iTunes or Google Play or iHeartRadio or Spotify. And if you just got a short attention span and you're just looking for a collection of things to listen to inspire, you can listen to the 5 minutes to new ideas.
Well, let's get to it.
I've been in the innovation game for more than 30 years. Hard to believe. With that many years comes loads of experience, but also some downsides. As with most things, when you've done something for a long time, you tend to fall into a pattern, a rut. You use your experience to recognize a pattern and then immediately apply the answer that worked for you the last time. That works great in many situations. But it can create major blind spots when it comes to innovation. How many of us have fallen into our respective ruts? Are you like me and tend to drive the exact same way to work every day? How about choosing restaurants? I tend to have a fairly short list of regular places we go. We all have ruts in both our personal and professional lives. And what happens when the rut doesn't work? You find yourself with a challenge. And the answer eludes you. So what do? You tend to go to your peers of experts to see if maybe they have a rut that leads to a different answer. What we need to do is teach ourselves to see the world around us with fresh eyes. What are fresh eyes? Seeing with fresh eyes is to see something as if you are seeing it for the very first time. No biases, no preconceived right or wrong answers. No default expertise that can cloud our perspective of what we are seeing. For instance, we tend to travel the same path to and from work, to school, or even to the grocery store. How many of you can name the latest store that opened on that trip? Now, we all fall into our rut, traveling the same path every day, and we don't notice what's changed, what is new. We see with old eyes. We skim our way through life. Old eyes will allow us to walk right past that next great idea or the solution to a problem we've been working on. Let me give you a more tangible example. This is a story from one of my fellow TED speakers. Let's talk about potato chips. A major manufacturer of potato chips was struggling with a problem. Their chip had too much oil on them at the end of the manufacturing process. Their experts felt that they could leverage a solution to a similar problem they had with salt. With the too much salt problem, they added a step where the chips were shaken to remove the salt. So they applied the same solution to the oil. It did not work. So they shook the chips a little harder until the oil came off. But now the chips were broken. What to do? With their experts stumped, the manufacturer decided to crowdsource an idea from people outside their industry, looking for fresh eyes. Lo and behold, a solution to the problem emerged from the most unlikely of people. The solution came from a concert violinist. The violinist looked at the problem and realized that it resembled something they had seen. When a violin hits a certain note, water will bead up and dance. So the violinist proposed playing a certain tone that would cause the oil on the potato chips to bead up and jump off the chips. And guess what? It worked. Here was a solution not found by the experts, but from an unexpected source. The lesson learned? Don't assume that the ideas or the answers will always come from the experts. Sometimes, you just need to bring in fresh eyes. Honestly ask yourself, are you seeing with fresh eyes, or are you suffering from old eyes? Fooling ourselves into thinking that we have this covered can be disastrous, not only to you and your career, but also for your team and your entire organization. So step one is being self-aware that we all see with old eyes. Step two is to build up the habit of looking at everything with fresh eyes. And if that doesn't work, step three, when you're stuck, ask for fresh eyes from the non-experts. You may just be surprised. So, how do we build up our fresh eyes? Here is my challenge for you, but it also applies to me. Recognize when we are stuck in a rut and get out of the rut. Try something new. Drive a different way to work. And on this new route, maybe notice a new restaurant you want to try. Challenge a process you are using and try a different way to solve a problem. Ask for someone that is not an expert to come and give you feedback on your work with fresh eyes. Just think about it. What could happen if we opened ourselves up to seeing with fresh eyes? What could we create then? I'm Phil McKinney, and thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join in. If you have any comments or suggestions, drop me a note at phil@killerinnovations.com. Beyond this show, I write about my personal experiences of being in the innovation game for the last two decades. Topics include innovation, creativity, culture, team building, metrics, frustrations, leadership, and how to win. You can find that content over at philmckinney.com. This episode of Killer Innovations was produced by the Innovators Network. You can find the show notes and the entire show catalog going back to 2005 at killerinnovations.com. I'll talk to you next week, and in the meantime, go out and change the world with your killer innovation. Bye-bye.